Riviera Radio. Business.
Morning.
Good morning.
Watched a bit of Formula One yesterday, did you?
I did enjoy the Formula One. I've become more of a fan of it in the last couple of years. I think the technology for showing it has got an awful lot better. I think they put a lot of money into that, and it's certainly paid off. And I thought, yeah, Baku looks wonderful, doesn't it? It looks a nice place, and it's certainly a thrilling race.
So yeah, it's certainly about the politics, but so we won't mention that. Okay. But certainly it made up for what some Monaco lacked in Simon, really, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's true. It's a nice... I like the street circuits in some ways, probably better than the track circuits. So I've been getting more... I'm by no means a fan, but I've been getting more into it, actually.
Well, I think Mercedes will be pleased to get back on a proper circuit rather than the street circuits, because they've been struggling, haven't they, really?
Mm. But it's a nice season, this. It's set up nicely this time around, isn't
yeah.
it? Sometimes it looks like, you know, Hamilton Mercedes is going to run away with it pretty early on. Doesn't look like this time around. What a mistake from Hamilton. I mean, that is
a pretty big mistake.
Yeah,
and he just come on the radio and said it's a marathon, not a sprint, indicating he'd be quite happy with second place. Because
Risk-reward. It would have been perfect second.
The red mist came down, didn't it?
You know all about that, don't you, on the way home?
markets sort of dominated by the non-farm payroll numbers, really, which were, well, not as high as possibly they could have been, but still quite good.
Yeah, the granddaddy of data points, non-farm payroll, was out on Friday. It was more intensely awaited than normal, given the historic miss in April. Reports showed some momentum returned to the US labour market in May. 559,000 jobs created. Consensus was 675,000. Did help to push the unemployment rate down to 5.8%, majority of the gains coming from the service sector. However, you say the headline number still represents a modest disappointment. What did we learn? People returning back to the labour market remains at a weaker pace than expected. Both manufacturers and service industry operators reporting difficulty in hiring staff. Average hourly earnings rose 2% year on year, so adding to the evidence that supply constraints are starting to push up wages. If sluggish participation becomes permanent, it certainly increases the risk of inflation. We know the US economic backdrop is improving, which should filter through to, I think, further job creation, and the employment report is unlikely to change the tone of next week's Fed meeting. FOMC expects to communicate its intention to look through transitory inflation pressures and focus on its full employment mandate.
Oh, higher interest rates, say you.
Higher taxes, really. She's not allowed to talk about interest
rates.
Well,
hang on, she does seem to be stepping on Jerome Powell's toes a little bit, doesn't she? I mean, that speech she gave yesterday, and also in an interview with Bloomberg afterwards, talking about Janet Yellen, if you hadn't guessed from my amazing impersonation.
It's a good impersonation.
If we end up with slightly higher interest rates, it would actually be a plus for society. A return to normal interest rates environment is what major economies require.
Well, it would be good news if we can get back to that point. One suspects we're far from that. The reality is that the recovery in the global economy is by no means assured, and I think central bankers want to make sure they're in much better shape before they start to slowly hike interest rates, something we wouldn't expect this year or indeed next year to take place. But as we have been talking about, thinking about tapering is probably the tone that the Federal Reserve is likely to take. Janet Yellen perhaps suggesting in a longer term basis that it would be good for economic conditions to normalise, and that would include interest rates as well.
Well, she says the routes to sort of stabilising or normalising interest rates is through higher inflation. Would you buy into that?
Well, it would be through higher inflation, controlled and elevated levels of inflation.
Yeah,
I don't think we want to see surging inflation, because that would have a detrimental effect on...
What she's saying is that to get to back to normality of interest rates of like 2.5% or something like that, which would be good for savers, we could do with a bout of inflation, and as long as it is reasonably controlled to get there.
Correct. We need a better balance between what we've been seeing. We need reasonable levels of inflation, we need stronger levels of growth, and we need a return to higher rates of interest rates that balances, you say, the needs for savers as well as those who are borrowing money. So we wait to see exactly the shape of the recovery and the magnitude of the recovery over the course of the next couple of years and whether it can fulfill that criteria.
Can just see her and Jerome Powell squaring up with their lightsabers. No?
Well, you seem to push this idea. I think we've got to be a bit more respectful of the Treasury sector.
Ooh, okay.
Say.
But she does seem to be sort of, you know, stepping on his toes a bit. That's as I said at the start.
A little bit. The important element that we saw, of course, out of the weekend was the finance ministers from the G7 agreeing this landmark deal that could, should I say, shake up the global tax system, allowing governments to collect more tax, reduce tax shifting to low jurisdictions, and stop the race to the bottom. The deal sees countries signing up to a 15% minimum corporate tax rate, a process that could enable authorities to impose higher levies, particularly on multinational tech giants. However, key details need to be, of course, fully spelt out. More nations need to sign up to the agreement. It may take years to implement. Focus now will move to the G20 finance ministers meeting in July, which I think it's in Venice. And negotiations also taking place on a broader perspective from the OECD. So who are the losers from it? Well, low jurisdiction countries, the likes of Ireland, for example, and of course those big profit shifters, particularly the technology companies.
I feel sorry for anyone who booked a short break in Cornwall this week.
Apparently, I had a friend come back, said it wasn't that busy, weather was beautiful, said it was very nice.
No, but it's this coming week they're all meeting in St Ives, isn't it?
Oh, sorry, this coming week. Oh, yeah,
with the programme, honestly.
I thought you said this week. Okay.
At least this week, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, they've been there over the half-term weekend, I thought you were suggesting. It's going to be elevated security. There's no doubt about that as the G20 comes together.
Foreign exchanges, please.
Pound against the dollar coming 141.5. Euro dollar coming in at 121.5. Going to get 1 euro 16 cents for your British pound this morning.
It's Tuesday tomorrow, don't forget.
Don't forget what?
Well, you know, you seem to be stuck in last week, so.
You are crazy. Thank you, sir. Enjoy your day.
Have a nice day. Hang pots and Barclays.